I see what it looks like from up here. Whoa. Praise the Lord. So good to be here. Amen. Made me nervous when the pastor's here. He's supposed to be gone. But it was ironic when we were talking about this tonight, the date and things. And at first, my schedule wasn't going to allow it because I was supposed to be in North Carolina tomorrow. And obviously, I can't be here tonight and be up there tomorrow. And then that changed. So I told Pastor Lane, and he said, great. And about that, along in there somewhere, the Lord just began to speak this message to my heart. By the way, while we're going on all this, turn to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. And this morning, we had a wonderful message this morning. Amen. That wasn't a very good amen. Maybe it wasn't such a good message. I thought it was. The only problem is I thought he had got my message. So this is somewhat of a, might be considered a sequel to what he said. But anyway, of course, I'm not nearly as polished as Pastor Lane, and you already know that, so say amen. But I used to say when Lord first called me into ministry, I wanted to be just like so-and-so. I named a particular person that I really liked, and a good friend of mine said, you don't need to be like him. God's already got him. You need to be like you. So I learned from that. I don't need to be another Dr. Charles Stanley. We got one of those. We got a Lane Sanders, and we don't need two Lane Sanders. Amen. I thought we'd get a good amen then. Anyway, the title, if we had one, would be No Room for Wimps. No Room for Wimps. We're in serious business walking for God. Amen. This is a serious walk, and the closer we get to time to go home, the more serious it's going to become. We need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to know what God's Word says about us. And Joshua, a little background on Joshua, he's one of my heroes. A background on Joshua, you know, out of the group that Moses picked, sent him into the Promised Land to spy out the land, right? It was him and Caleb was the two that came back with a positive report. You know, the others came back and said, oh, there are giants in the land. There's great, you know, we can't do it. Now, first of all, this is the Promised Land. Amen? God had already told them it was theirs. But yet, this group come back and said, oh, we'll never do that. We can't do it. There's giants. And old Joshua come back and said, they're so big we can't miss. That's the good part. You can shoot and you can't miss. They're so big. That's the positive attitude. And then, of course, he was picked by the Lord, by God, to succeed Moses. Oh, my. Oh, my. What's some shoes to fill? Moses. Brought him out of, led him out of the bondage, out of Egypt. And got a good message this morning out of what you were saying, but I didn't have time to put that together. What a leader. Moses led him out, but you know, he made a serious misjudgment, and God didn't let him go into the Promised Land. He let him see it, but he couldn't go in. And old Joshua took over. We pick it up at Joshua 1. And verse 5, if you will, please. He says, this is God's commission to Joshua. This is what he was telling him. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And let me say this. I believe he's saying that to the church today. I believe he's saying that to us today. Who is the church? If we are, that's right. It's us, not this building. Praise the Lord for this building. But this building is just where the church comes together. Amen? This is one of our places where we meet. And so God would say this to us today, I believe. No man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. God Almighty promised he would never leave us and never forsake us. So if he's not with me, guess who moved? Wasn't him. And then he goes on to say, verse 6, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Verse 7 again, he said, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, he's saying here, be strong and courageous twice already. Why? Because God knows what obstacles they're going to face in conquering or taking the promised land. Amen. It's not going to be just walk in and, okay, we're here and it's all over. They're in for a battle. And they know that. In fact, my daddy died when I was 3, so I never really knew my daddy. But one of his good friends told me, he used to say, if it's free, it's fool's bait. He wasn't meant for free stuff. You had to earn it by the sweat of your brow. And God had promised this land, this area, to them, and they should know by that they're going to win. I like to be on a winning team. Amen? I love to win. How many likes to win? All right, rest of you, I don't know about you. Winning is not everything. It's everything. I used to drag race when I was younger, and the trouble with drag racing is there's only one loser. In NASCAR, you have a whole bunch of losers, you know. And when you're sitting on the line and smoke boiling out from under the tires and people are marveling about all that smoke, but the other car's gone, you feel like somewhat of an idiot, you know. And I don't like to lose. And before I got saved, I was a loser, like everybody else, right? If you don't know Jesus, you're a loser. And when I got saved, I began to realize that you can't lose following God. We may lose a battle, but we're not going to lose the war. The guys wearing the Super Bowl ring from last year, there's some of them was on injured reserve and everything else, you know, of the Colts. But nothing mattered because they got that ring. Amen? That's the ultimate victory in football, is to win the Super Bowl, to win in baseball or whatever. We're guaranteed, as children of the Most High God, we are guaranteed to win. Now, I told you my experience in Vietnam, how they told us about our marksman badges we was wearing, and the only problem with them targets, they were going to shoot back. It's amazing. You shoot at them, they shot back at us. Now, the reason I mention that again to you is, know that when you go out winning souls for Christ, and we're definitely going to do that, aren't we? Macedonia is going to be known as a soul-winning church. I believe that with all of my heart, or I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here if I didn't believe that with all of my heart, that this body that God has brought together and kept together, the remnant here, is going to be known as a soul-winning group. And as soul winners, we're going to be known as a loving church. And if we're going to be a loving, soul-winning church, we've got to kind of roll up our sleeves and get ready for war. Because Satan won't take it laying down. Be bold. Be courageous. Be strong. I was telling somebody on this trip, and by the way, thank you for praying for me on this trip. I sensed your prayers. I really do. Really do. Put a lot of miles and got to go again tomorrow. But we'll get landed one of these days when the whistle blows and we go home. We'll sit down by the throne of God and put our feet in the river of life and cool off. You know, just all right. We're home. But until then, but I sensed your prayers when I was driving through that snowstorm and you didn't know I was in. But you were praying for me. I know that. It just became what they call a whiteout. You know what that is? When everything's white. Everything coming at me was white. Solid wall. And, of course, I stopped. And I was thinking, you know, Satan tried to put fear in me even driving down the interstate. You're going to crash, see? And he whispers all these little encouraging messages to you. He's a liar. Jesus said in John 8:44, what did he say? He said not only he's a liar, but he's the father of all lies. So if he told me these lies were on, I'd look up and check it. He's a liar. So when he comes to us to discourage us, church, remember what God told Joshua Be strong, be courageous. Let's go on. He doesn't quit with it there. In verse 8, he said, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. You shall meditate on the word day and night. I've learned something. I don't know about your habits. You know, we're getting habits of prayer time and that, and that, I hope so. Mine is in the morning. I like to do it early in the morning before my mind gets all cluttered with the day's activities, and I like to walk and pray. And he says, meditate on it day and night. Well, if I don't read the word, I can't meditate on it. If I don't put it in, meditate, I understand, means to consider or think about it. And I'm sure Pastor Lane have a Greek word for that, but we don't do Greek in South Georgia. Whatever that big word might be, think about it. If we don't put it in our heart, we can't think about it. It's not there. Just like a computer. Nothing in, nothing out, right? Garbage in, garbage out. Same thing it is with our spirit, man. It's a constant recorder. And he says that we need to not let the book of the law depart from us, but we should meditate on it day and night, that we may observe to do according to all that is written in it. And then he said, for then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? What did he say again in verse 9? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What an awesome promise. God will never leave us, never forsake us. He's with us wherever we go. Does he feel comfortable going where we go? Hello. Would I want to introduce, all the places I may go, could I turn around and say, let me introduce you to my friend Jesus? Do I go places that he wouldn't be welcome? Think about that. Think about that. Do I get involved in conversations where God is not glorified or edified? Verse 5 assures us again, we cannot lose when we follow God and do what he says. And he says to meditate on the word day and night, be strong. Turn to Matthew 28. You know that scripture, Matthew 28, 16, the Great Commission, right? Who was the Great Commission given to? To who? All of us. That's exactly right. The Great Commission. Let's look at it again. And starting in verse 16 of Matthew 28, it says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountains which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. But some doubted. Same ones been walking with him for what? 3 solid years? Some doubted. And they were looking square at him. Now, we don't see him. We don't see his physical body. We're supposed to trust him by faith. Amen? We're supposed to believe that this is true. By the way, that's not a popular thing anymore in all churches. You better be thankful for your church. Because I visit churches that tell you that it's possible for this to have error in it. Yeah, you'd be shocked to find out who's saying that. That it's possible for it to be wrong. If it's possible for it to be wrong, we need to throw it in the trash and go do something else. Because we're betting our life on this. We bet everything we got on it. He says, and Jesus spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe what? All things that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Here's our commission to go and win the world to Christ. There's nothing I like any better than leading somebody to Christ. That's the most awesome feeling in the world. To see God transform somebody's life. And then, of course, later on, you may have the opportunity to do that here and see them come into the church and grow up and mature and then become soul winners. That is awesome. I tell you what, it's better than Navy snuff and ain't half as dusty. It is great. I love it. And I love to tell people about Jesus. So we've got a commission, and everybody got the commission, but verse 17, some doubted. Some doubted, and they were looking square at Jesus and doubted. Now, I know none of you doubt anything that the Word says. I know you are actively following the Word of God and doing what God tells us to do in winning the lost. Now, Acts 1 and 8, God gave us the power. In Matthew 28, He gave us the commission or the calling. In Acts 1 and 8, He gave us the power. What does that say? Let's look at that. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And they were asking him, you know, about when is this kingdom going to come? Jesus preached about the second coming from the time he was here. And they figured it was going to be right away. Just before this, he had told them, it's not for you to know the times or the season. But, now, what does verse 8 say? But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power to do what? To be witnesses. To be witnesses. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Amen? We all have the same Holy Spirit. I hear the term a lot of times, I'm Spirit-filled. Great. Anybody heard that term? That's okay. Spirit-filled. You know, I'm not so interested in how much of God you have. What I want to find out is how much of you does He have? How much of you or how much of me does God have? Am I obedient? Or am I constantly running around quarreling, complaining? Pastor Lane covered that effectively, so I left it out of this one tonight. I know nobody here ever complains. When the Lord gives you a job to do or you get an opportunity to serve God, you just jump on it and run with it, right? And don't worry about somebody else doing better than you or getting their name on the marquee and you didn't or getting mentioned in the bulletin. Or I know we don't ever have that problem, do we? I really don't know. I hope not. I hope not. I don't want my name on this marquee. I want it on that one up yonder. I want mine in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I know it's there. So, one, He gave us the commission. And I would say that this commission does not include wimps. I can't stand a wimp. Somebody's always complaining, 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 complaining. That just drives me crazy. If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen. But God, is heaven worth it or not? Is heaven worth some of our problem? And we don't know nothing. Sit in a group of missionaries from foreign countries sometimes. Listen what they go through. And some have been there all their life. And I go to these conferences sometimes, being one Tuesday and Wednesday in Savannah. And I'll be around some of these missionaries and I think, man, we got it made. We got it easy. We have no room to complain. So He gave us commission. Then in Acts 1 and 8, He gave us the power we need. But listen, the power is no good at all unless you learn how to use it. Unless you begin to use what God has given you. And He says in Acts 1 and 8, the Holy Spirit shall come upon us, and then that will give us the power to become witnesses. Where? He said in Jerusalem. Why did He say Jerusalem first, do you suppose? Because that's where they were. That's right. That's where they were. Start where you are with what you have. Start where you are with what you have. And do God's work. Because He's looking to us to do it. Ephesians chapter 6. Turn over there with me, please. I'm trying to get through all these and write them down so you read them later. Ephesians chapter 6, he gave us the protection we need. He gave us the calling. He gave us the power. And in Ephesians chapter 6, he gave us protection, the full armor of God. Ephesians, starting in verse 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Remember Joshua? Be strong, be courageous. Here in Ephesians again, he said, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I want you to notice something there. His might. We're operating in God's might. We're operating with his power, not yours. You know, our flesh tend to say, I can't do that. I can't do that. My wife used to say that more than anything in the world. You wouldn't know that today. God has transformed this woman. I'm telling you. She would look at things and say, well, I can't do that. I could never do that. Look at a computer program. I don't know how to do that. You know what? She quit saying that, and she turned that part of her life. She was already born again. But God wasn't the Lord of her life. She was holding back things. She wouldn't let God teach her things. And I didn't mean to embarrass you. I hope I didn't, honey. It's a long ride home. What I'm so proud of today is the job, what she's doing. And the reason I can say that is because she released that to God and she quit saying, I can't. With God, I can. And he says here, we are strong in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. You know this, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Notice it keeps saying the full armor, the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the end of evil day, and having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore. I'd like to see that. I like to read that in the same sentence, really. And, of course, in the original writing, we didn't have punctuation anyway. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. What is the truth? What is the truth? The Word of God. That's the only truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end and with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador. I am an ambassador in chains, and in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And pray for our pastor. Pray for me. Pray for one another that we will be able to boldly speak the word of God without hesitation. Without criticism, without condemnation, but without compromise. We need to speak the Word of God. We have compromised to the point, in some cases, the world can't tell us apart anymore. That's sad. We'll compromise what the Word of God says in order to please a certain group of people, in order to reach a certain group of people. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe we need to be as modern as the day is, but none of that will cause us to compromise what this Word of God says. We don't need to compromise the Word of God to reach people. He gave us the full armor for protection. But again, like the power, the armor is no good unless we learn how to use it. How many has practiced, and don't raise your hand, how many has actually practiced putting on the full armor of God? Have you ever done that? Don't raise your hand, just think about it. Every morning, I put the full armor on Jan and me. Now, men, that's our responsibility, I believe, as a spiritual head of the house, is to make sure our family is covered properly. Dr. Stanley once said, He said, when I get in real trouble during the course of a day, I try to remember what part of my armor I forgot to put on. Because the enemy is constantly coming at us. The armor is there, but it's no good unless we learn how to use it properly. And again, I got to Vietnam, there were some weapons that, you know how it was going on back then. It would rush you through training, and boom, you're over there, and they showed me weapons. I didn't know what they was. They started issuing me weapons. I didn't know how to load it, let alone fire it. And we need to learn how to, but you can bet one thing, this old boy learned real quick. I'm a quick learner when it comes to saving my life. We need to learn how to use this armor. First of all, he starts out with the belt of truth around our waist. Start out in the truth. Meditate on it day and night. Then we'll be able to accomplish everything. But we need to learn how to use it. Back to Ephesians 4. The problem I found with some people we run it with, everybody wants to talk the talk, but not everybody wants to walk the walk. And that's what I'm talking about when I say a wimp. We want to go to heaven. What's that old saying? Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. And we see that a lot. Nobody wants to give up what this old flesh wants. And it's hard. It's hard. I don't trust this flesh at all. At all. No. My flesh is never be saved. But I've learned something that when I'm walking the walk, then I don't have half as much problem witnessing, because I'm just naturally doing that. And when I don't just talk the talk, I'm walking the walk. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. See, obviously Paul was from the South. You all. Y'all. But what he's saying is we need to, back to verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, walking in love, not in criticism and condemnation, but walking in love. Drop down to verse 17 in that same chapter. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness in their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. I pray that don't describe us today as Christians. We need to walk, he says, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind, doing whatever the mind wants to do, whatever the flesh wants to do. That's what he's saying they're doing. Too many people wanting to just talk the talk. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, notice this now, please, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Start walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Be a man, but be a man or a woman of God. Be bold, be strong, be courageous, is what he told Joshua, remember? We need to start doing more walking than talking, maybe. One last scripture I'd like to take you to is Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. It is there, isn't it? Romans 8:14. See, the Lord don't give us fear. Fear comes from the enemy. Amen? Fear only comes from the enemy. He's always trying to put you down. Young people, I'm so proud of our youth today making a stand for God and walking and talking for God. I see them all over just witnessing, doing things, and I'm real proud of that. I'm thankful for that. I think we need to learn something from them sometime. We're supposed to be leading them, but I think we could learn from them too. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We don't receive a spirit of fear from God. Where does that come from? From the enemy, right? From the devil. He's always trying to talk us out of our witness. He's always trying to talk us down. You don't know enough about the Bible to do that. You're going to make a fool of yourself. You're going to do this, that, the other. He's always trying to convince us that we're not who we are in Christ. But if you know who you are in Christ, you know who you are, you stand on that word and say, oh, no, I'm going to go tell somebody. I'm a witness to somebody anytime I get the opportunity. Because we didn't receive a spirit of fear. Verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children of God, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, there's that big old word again, if, say that with me, if, say it again. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Church, are we willing to suffer for the Lord today? Now, I don't mean get on the cross and be hung. He's already done that. Once and for all sins are paid for. But the opportunity to witness for him. Do we take that opportunity? Do we share when we have opportunity? When the opportunity comes along to gossip or run somebody down, are we more apt to take that or the witnessing? Now, I'm excited about the future of our church. I really am, because I believe God is going to raise up this church. I believe you're going to see a soul-winning, loving church here, and we need to get ready for that. We need to study the word, learn how to put on the full armor every day. And as Joshua said, be bold and be courageous in our witness everywhere we go and inviting the people to come to our church. So I just wanted to share that with you today, tonight. I appreciate Brother Lane letting me speak to you tonight. And just a word, go back to Joshua 1, be bold, be courageous. Be strong in Jesus' name. Don't back down from nobody or nothing. We are the winners. Amen? We're guaranteed to win. Let us pray. Father, thank you for our time together this evening, Lord. I praise you for this word that you've given us, Lord, and I pray that I would become more bold. I pray, Lord, today, Lord God, that I would be a bolder, more effective witness for you, Lord God, and share your word. Lord, I don't have to know the whole book. I need to know the author. And Lord, tonight, I just pray that you would fill me more with your spirit, more with your understanding. Give me wisdom with understanding to share your word everywhere I go. And make this body of believers here at Macedonia, Lord, cause us to be a loving, soul-winning church. In Jesus' name. Amen.